You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Silicon Valley After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Silicon Valley After Show.
Hey everybody, it's AfterBuzz TV and we are the Silicon Valley After Show. Tonight we're going to be talking about episode 5 entitled Signaling Risks. What did you think about, first I'm your host JB Zimmerman and with me today is Yael.
Yael Teagle, hey everybody. Stepping in.
Exactly. Jeff Masters and Sophie Schlesi are unfortunately away this week, but not to worry, we've got a lot of good stuff for you tonight.
Yeah.
What did you think about tonight's episode?
I really like tonight's episode. Silicon Valley is one of my favorite new shows. I love it, especially because I'm from the Silicon Valley. I grew up there. I worked there before I moved down to LA. So not only is it really exciting to watch it and be like, oh, I know what's happening. I get that. I see that. I know who these people are. But it's also really funny. I was laughing really loud this episode. More so than I think previous episodes.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. There's a lot more comedy in this one. I can definitely agree with you there.
The mural.
just
the mural.
Just visual aids, very much so. And I like how it started out funny with a very intense graphic and then somehow pushed the envelope even further after that. Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I don't think Ehrlich saw it coming either. He definitely got the rough end of that bargain for sure.
I definitely censored two jokes in my head there about not seeing it coming and then him getting the rough end.
Ooh, exactly. We have to keep this a little PG.
Yeah, a little bit clean.
There could be children watching. Wow. Earmuffs, everybody.
If they saw tonight's episode, then they could be watching this and we could be making those dirty
jokes.
That's
true. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So, first topic of the show, the logo, as we just sort of touched on, how do you think that played out?
I think the whole scene with, first off, Ehrlich being so really just worried about being racist, that was amazing. And then Chewie, he's got 3 assault convictions and his work hangs in galleries. But really, I just loved the whole idea of going to the streets and trying to get an original, logo for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that whole thing. I mean, it started out just as the joke with Dinesh being mistaken for being Latino.
Yeah.
And then it really just took a life on its own.
I mean, yeah.
I love how they use Ehrlich's character kind of to spearhead that comedy of always being in the wrong with race. And I think that's largely a commentary on our society now, especially in such a liberal place as Silicon Valley is.
Yeah.
Everybody's hypersensitive of all that. I mean, everybody, it's all African-American, this and everything like that. It's so funny to kind of poke jokes at that.
I definitely agree. I also, I'm wondering where that was supposed to be that Chewie lives.
Right.
Like, what town is that supposed to be?
I'm guessing it's in the EPA. I know that
you think it's East Palo Alto.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, East Palo Alto.
For those who aren't from the locals. Yeah, I was like, people don't know what that is.
Exactly. Sir. Well, luckily we have a special guest here tonight, which is also from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
We have a little NorCal pride right now. I'm not from Silicon Valley, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Everything in the Bay Area is—it's like everything in LA, where it's all sort of one big city.
I actually grew up in Palo Alto and am familiar with East Palo Alto. At
very
least.
Local.
I think it was supposed to be portrayed as the way East Palo Alto was, but anybody who's been in East Palo Alto in the last, I don't know, 15 years, it looks nothing like that anymore. It's that is where everything is now.
Definitely.
The Silicon Valley has expanded into that. So I'm just trying to understand where it is that they went to pick up Chewie. I feel like they had to drive to, like, really South San Jose. My theory on it.
I mean, the Bay Area is a pretty big place. There's mm-hmm. a lot going on. There's a lot of tech companies. There's a lot of suburbs and everything like that. So in terms of comparing it to something like L.A., there could be, you know, tens of places that, mm-hmm. you know, they could theoretically be.
Yeah.
It's interesting how much – I mean, Silicon Valley is obviously centered in the south part of the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But so much of the tech industry is booming at such a rate, it's kind of going everywhere. I mean, yeah. even San Francisco has – Yelp is headquartered there, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of going everywhere. I mean, there's just no space yeah. for all these companies that yep. are kind of flocking to that area.
I actually – the company I used to work for was in the Twitter building.
Ooh, interesting.
Then Twitter bought out the rest of the building, kicked nice. Us all out. Yeah.
Nice. So what – I mean, you don't have to divulge any names. Mm-hmm. We don't want to incriminate you on the air.
Yeah.
But can you talk about maybe what area of expertise you worked in the industry?
I worked – I was a project manager at an entertainment company in San Francisco. Try and think how much I can tell you.
Yeah, we don't want them to figure out.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to figure out where it was. But we, it was definitely very similar. It started out as a very similar vibe to what mm-hmm. Pied Piper is. So the working in a house together, being right. that being the first office, very real. Eventually it expanded, got a real office, and had to deal with the exact issues like the show is giving us with the corporate culture and trying to move along like that.
Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think Zach Woods, who plays Jared, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Donald. Is his actual name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was a great character to kind of carry on that storyline mm-hmm. of, you know, this is sort of an interesting dynamic for an office, and he's trying to make it a little bit more corporate, which is not something they're used to. I mean, right. They've all been living together. Everything's been very lax in terms of regulations and rules.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of being the mom in the situation and kind of has to snap people back into shape.
Yeah. I think it's really – it's realistic, I think. I just – I can't think of anyone I knew that was the person who was like, guys, we need to set up these yeah. rules. But it definitely – I mean, it started in our CEO's living room and it moved and then – I moved to like the, you know, when they bought a house that was big enough to accommodate mm-hmm. them to work in. And then they eventually moved to an office. But I think Jared is he's my favorite character. I love him. And I love that he came from a startup which went into corporate. And so now he's trying to help them do the same thing.
Right. Definitely. I love Zach Woods. Mm-hmm. Again, he plays Jared. He has such a, he nails the role completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a nuanced character, and I think he does a really good job with it. It's interesting to see because he played a character on The Office. I believe his name is Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, people. But where it's a similar kind of awkward, creepy type of character, he can use that and play it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting to see someone who's able to take something very similar and kind of spin it in a new way where it is a unique character like Jared / Donald.
It's really funny because I feel like he's supposed to be, you know, really awkward, but he's not creepy at all.
Right.
Which is, I feel like it's odd because you expect him to be creepy.
Exactly.
And I'm like, why isn't he creepy? Where is his creep? Maybe it's because we have yet to see him really interact with females. Right.
Well, it's sort of like anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of them aside from Widow interactions with Monica.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and then there was the stripper.
Exactly.
On.
Oh, yes. Mochaccino.
Mochaccino.
How could we forget?
Yeah. Big head and her.
Yes, exactly. We should have her back. Jeff, on a previous after show, said that she was slated as being on more than one episode.
Mm.
So hopefully there's a more Mochaccino to come.
I feel like she's going to probably help Big Head, not to get into predictions, but I feel like she's going to help Big Head discover what he's good at.
Ooh, yes. Hopefully.
Yeah.
More innuendos to come with that,
yes.
those names. Definitely. but yeah, I think he does a really good job. All the characters are very well cast.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that they each kind of play a role that's different, but it still supplies something in the group. We were joking about how in the first episode, Gavin Belson looks at a group of programmers kind of walking into the office, mm-hmm. and he pokes fun at how they have one of each type. There's like a guy with a lot of facial hair, like a skinny white guy, an East Indian guy, an Asian guy, and I think they kind of do that. I mean, not racially as much. I mean, mm-hmm. this episode was a lot more about race than previous ones, mm-hmm. but they each fulfill something unique in the house, especially now that Big Head is gone.
I was visiting my old bosses, and they were saying that is that note that Belson said was something that they also have noticed.
Really?
And that apparently within the founders of the company I used to work at, they all were like, oh, like we fulfill that.
Right. Just, oh, there's that guy.
Yeah.
There's that guy.
I just want to say, I don't think people notice, but they do it.
Right.
They do trade until they have the right numbers.
Definitely. Well, they do a lot of research to make sure that the show, is very accurate in terms of representing the actual area, which is, that could be it. Maybe they've, with their advisors, have talked
have
about
noted that. Yeah.
But yeah, back to Gavin Belson for a second. Mm-hmm. That was funny, that whole bit about, what was it called? The Telehuman.
The Telehuman.
Yeah, very Star Wars-y. I mean, it is National Star Wars Day. May That's the 4th true. Be with you,
Yeah,
people.
Everybody.
But yeah, that was kind of cool, the hologram thing. It was funny to see it not work.
Yeah.
Also, it was funny that Big Head asked him, and he was like, oh, yeah, can you see me? Is it the same? And he was like, oh, what? Why would I see you?
Right.
That's dumb.
I loved it. I love that he mentioned that he paid $20 million for that technology, and it doesn't work. And then I love that when the telehuman didn't work, they switched to the Hooli chat, which, for anyone who's ever used it looks very similar to Google Hangout. And I hate to say it, but the, like, connection quality is very similar as well.
Definitely.
Where you know, everything's freezing, and it's I love the commentary that they're making using the new technology, showing us Google Hangout, and then even going back to using the phone and the service not working.
Right.
It's a huge commentary on our technology, our reliance on it, and how it isn't where it should be, and yet we're still so like, we gotta use this new technology and we gotta show how it works. And it's not all good.
Right. And exactly. I think a lot of things get so much hype early on that they are released a little prematurely. And it's sort of a great commentary on that, where not only are we so reliant on something that works until it doesn't, which is often, especially with certain telephone companies, I would say, more than others. But again, not to divulge names and get sued. But I mean, it's interesting to see how we're so reliant on something, and then when it doesn't work, it's like, what do we do? Like,
I know a lot of people who they'll use some sort of service. Like, for example, there's a video chatting service that people will use, and they will defend it to their last breath. And the quality isn't good.
Right.
It's not getting, you know, any better, and they continue to use it, but they will defend it. And they will say, this is you got to use this product, even though it's not working. And that's what this was. It was a great, like, hey, world, you're doing this. You're acting dumb.
Well, a perfect example, the FaceTime or video chat on your phone works really well, again, when it works.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the coolest thing that is around right now, mainstream, that you can sort of use to some reliability. The other day I was on a train, and in L.A.,
I was
going to
ask you, what train?
The Metro, actually. It exists in L.A. that myth is definitely busted.
It's a mythical creature,
exactly.
This train.
Yeah, I know. It's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on it, and I saw someone who was using it, and they were communicating with signing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is something that's so cool that technology does allow us to do. Again, it's definitely not at the place where we can all use that and have that kind of take over texting or voice calling, as we may end up calling it.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see, you know, that it has the potential. And that's why I think as a society, we push things out before they're ready.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely there's that thing of, you know, when should you release it? And this episode is sort of a commentary like that kind of globally with the TechCrunch Disrupt conference that they're attending. 8 weeks, clearly not enough time to make sure the product works and reliably and kind of get all the bugs and issues out. But again, they're forced to do it just because of time.
Well, it's what's really funny is that so the pilot episode was called Most Viable Product.
Yes, Most Viable Product. Exactly. Thank you for remembering. Sorry. I completely blanked
as well. The reason I'm bringing up the pilot episode is because that is what is released in in Silicon Valley. You release the bare minimum of what you need to launch, then you go out and fix bugs. If you notice when you download an app, if there's a new version, within a few days there'll be an update because they fix those bugs. So that's what they're doing, is they are told you have 8 weeks to release something.
Right.
Because you're competing with this big company. You're competing with Huli's Nucleus. And so you've got to release something to, to be the first one.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be the best. It has to work, though.
Definitely.
It has to be the least viable, most viable product.
Yeah. But, yeah, and again, because there is that competition, once something is works to some extent, the media and everything gets such a grasp of it, it's you have such this competition from copycats. I mean, this is a perfect example of Nucleus kind of swooping in and seeing if they can do it faster. I mean, we see this everywhere. Hollywood obviously sends out movies that are are often very similar because, you know, they want to see like who, if this idea takes off, then we're the next one or we can do it better. So there's a real great commentary on that, and kind of that could be a huge part of why things are rushed out maybe before they're ready.
Yeah. I think what was a really exciting reveal, information reveal, I guess, this episode was the Peter Gavin, you know, pissing contest
that
was announced and revealed to the audience, because we saw last episode the photo.
Exactly. The little tease with the photo of them being in the same working group, it looks like. Obviously, them
parting ways. Yeah.
And clearly not on the best of terms as of right now.
Yeah. It was really exciting as a fan to get that information. I did not expect to get it in the next episode. So that was really awesome. And I like that we got more information about why it is that, that Peter decided to invest in Pied Piper.
Right. Definitely. I mean, it was sort of cloudy because Monica is an interesting character, and how much she is involved in the decision making isn't really clear. But it was sort of disheartening to hear that Peter Gregory may not have any interest in the company other than his feud with Gavin Belson.
Right. I feel like she was saying that originally he didn't, but now that, you know, Belson wants it.
Exactly.
Now he's interested.
To their credit, or to Monica's at least, she does believe in the company. She said that, you know, this was the only one that she invested in personally with her own salary. So I think that speaks a lot. And she kind of got, I mean, she sort of screwed them over by playing those cards just because she wanted what was best for her company. But again, I think she brought it back and really apologized and wants to help them more hands-on.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that happen.
Definitely, definitely. We can talk about that more in predictions. But in terms of the realism of the show, they being Zach Woods.
Jared.
Jared again. Donald.
Donald.
He started talking about a system, Scrum.
Yes, Scrum.
And I, as someone not in the industry, do not know what that is. I mean, I saw a chart on the board, but that was, it could have been Chinese writing for me.
That was so exciting. You were there. I was giggling. I was so excited to see it. Scrum is a software development framework for managing projects.
Right.
So basically exactly what you saw, that's exactly what it is. You, someone is the scrum master and they write out the stories. They say, this is what needs to get done. So for example, if you need to, I'm trying to think of an example how I can approach it to the real world. I can't think of an example specifically, but I'll try to explain it as simple as possible. He says, this is how, you know, you need to get this done. You need to make this product let's split it up into little pieces. Mm-hmm. Here are the different pieces that need to be made. Those are stories. They go in the icebox. Someone says, I'm going to work on this. So they claim that story on a post-it or a, I've seen it on index cards.
Right, cards, of course.
You move it over to the in progress. That means you're working on it. And then eventually you move it over to testing. It gets tested and then it's completed. It's just a really great workflow system. As you saw on the left side of the board, there were different subjects. I forget what those are actually called in Scrum, but they're different chunks or parts of the
some project. Categorization of some kind. Okay,
and that is Scrum. It is wonderful. It's a wonderful way to manage your projects, and it's very much used in the Silicon Valley.
Definitely. That's great. I mean, again, the research pays off, and it's something that even you knew about that had worked even remotely in the industry. And it's a good thing.
Yeah. It was very
That's great. I mean, it seemed to work for them, the characters. Obviously, Guilfoyle and Dinesh haven't had the best of friendship.
They're very competitive.
Definitely competitive. I won't call them supportive of one another's success.
Not at all.
Sort of a mini Gavin Belson, Peter Gregory type a dynamic. But still stuck on the same team for the time being. And it was interesting to see that the Scrum technique worked, actually. I mean, originally they were like, yeah, this isn't going to work. And then they got to doing it, and then it completely took off exactly as it should.
Yeah. I love when Dinesh was like, oh, I see what you're trying to do, trying to make us compete.
While you're typing faster. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're going to compete. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Just this is going down.
Yeah.
I wonder if that system will play a larger role in the rest of the season. I mean, it seemed to work not just on a efficiency scale by making it a competition and them to motivate to work a little faster. But the organization, I think, that was lacking originally. I mean, you talked about everything being in a small startup at someone's house, like a very relaxed environment. Obviously, we treat homes differently than a corporate office with set cubicles and everything.
Not cubicles.
Yeah, exactly. The scorn for cubicles. That was interesting to see sort of a move in the right direction towards productivity and making it a little bit more of a legitimate business. So I hope that that takes off in a good way, because that's sort of the only way that they're going to make this deadline.
I feel like the Scrum and the board is not going to – it's not going to be brought up again unless somebody goes and disrupts it, and that is, you know, the episode plot or whatever. But I think that it's just a way to show, like, oh, we're on track. We're doing this. It's,
right.
The show is not going to be about us failing at this. It's going to be about all the challenges we face as we do it.
Definitely.
And I love that. I think that's a great way to do a show, as opposed to, like, we're going to do this and it's going to fail. Ha ha.
Exactly.
You know, because that's a boring, who cares about that?
Yeah, I mean, they really need to pull together. I mean, they have a huge competition, a huge thing in 8 weeks to deliver at this conference. If they don't perform, then they could be completely outshadowed and forgotten, and then they'll lose their funding, and then they'll be one of the thousands of probably failed people. Like in the last episode, the guy that works at BevMo.
Yeah, I was just thinking about him.
They could have a lot more employee signups soon. Something in the real world I think that's sort of similar. Sorry to geek out right real quick.
I'm so
with
excited.
Video games.
Yeah.
Facebook just acquired a company called Oculus Rift. They make it's a visual reality headset that you wear. And Sony, after that was announced, Facebook bought it for like $1 billion or something to that effect.
Sure.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
Just to sum it up. And Sony released sort of the same product called it's Project Morpheus right now. Obviously that name may change. But again, it's sort of a real world thing of how that is exactly happening. And it happens so often. Basically the same product, and they're just in an arms race, so to speak, on who can release it first and better. I mean, it's sort of a trade-off.
Yeah.
Do you sacrifice, you know, on your timeline to release it first and then get that first initial market, the early adopters? If you get enough, then you can win. I mean, they reference VHS and beta. That's another example of one product being released first and the other one being better. Do you wait Can people wait for the better product, or do they want something right now?
I feel like as a consumer, we're becoming more aware and looking around and going, oh, the better product is not necessarily being released first.
Exactly. Yeah. There's with smartphones and, mm-hmm. in general, you know, Apple loses a lot to say Samsung that releases more. And anything that works on the Android system, there's so many more options that mm-hmm. work with that. You know, a lot of people don't want to wait a full year or 2 years to get a new product, especially if you break it or lose it, which yeah. I am guilty of most of those. Mm-hmm. so it's interesting to see that kind of dynamic again. I mean, there's a lot of mirrored ideas and things that can go into the show. I mean, it's a comedy, but I think it has a lot of real topics that, you know, we are actually dealing with today. So I think it makes it a very current show.
Definitely. I think that's what makes this show so interesting.
Right.
Especially to our generation that is growing up with these products.
Exactly.
That is using Facebook and Twitter and apps that we, you know, don't even know what they are. We love them. And that's why this show is so important and so great. And it is so smart.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have so many apps on my phone. I don't even know what to do with them
yeah.
or what half of them do. but when they're cool and they do help, I mean, it's such a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think we do rely on it a little bit too much,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully we can find a balance of sort of that as things move on. I mean,
yeah.
the next generation of phones might not even be a phone. It could be a watch or something,
mm-hmm.
something even cooler. Hopefully. Yeah.
The telehuman.
Yeah, the telehuman, exactly.
Yeah.
If we can just, or teleport, that would be the best.
Yeah, they're working on it.
Yeah, I think it's coming soon. with that, I think we should talk about a little news.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I got nothing. It's yours.
I will take it. On the web, the World Wide Web, they released on Business Insider sort of the inside jokes, which helps a person like me who's never worked in the actual industry understand a little bit more deeper into the inside things that make it a little bit more funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great show. I laugh constantly. But, you know, there's a lot of inside things that people in the industry really get, and it's sort of an extra commentary on that.
Yeah.
So mostly for the characters, first, Peter Gregory. Is his main inspiration is a man named Peter Thiel.
Mm-hmm.
He was the co-founder of PayPal.
Yeah.
And he also has a GPS program called Palantir. And that was referenced in one of the first episodes as when he was talking to Richard, he mentioned, oh, yeah, how did you find me? And he said that he had this GPS program that would mm-hmm. allow him to locate anybody. And that's almost entirely accurate. I mean, he does have a program that is a GPS based. They use it with the CIA. So, I mean, we obviously don't know what's involved with that,
right.
but I can only assume it is tracking people. And since we can use the GPS on our phones, I can't imagine it's that much more difficult to track specific people
right.
that you're targeting. Sort of an invasion of privacy, perhaps, but again, with all the terrorism laws and stuff that
mm-hmm.
Those lines, I think, are pretty gray now.
Yeah.
Moving on to Gavin Belson. He is modeled after Mark Benioff, who's the CEO of Salesforce.com.
Mm-hmm.
Again, both of those guys are real-life billionaires. And he has a knack for the spiritual, the yoga. That's what we see Gavin Belson always meeting with that guru
yeah,
guy.
His spiritual
yeah,
advisor.
He's like spiritual Sherpa. and he does a lot of philanthropy, a lot of humanitarian efforts. And even in the first episode, they kind of had that weird video on the bus of him in
mm-hmm.
Africa, just like helping people.
Yeah.
So it was a nice little jab at that. And even Ehrlich is modeled after someone, mostly Sean Parker. Because he had sort of the incubating idea. I mean, he started Napster, and he had a very big part in Facebook. He was the president.
He was played by Justin Timberlake
exactly.
in the Social Network movie.
JT, definitely. So hopefully a lot more people are know about Sean Parker. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Napster, by the way, I think it's funny, we haven't mentioned this yet, but in the opening credits, there's sort of a SimCity type buildup of Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And the one for Napster is a hot air balloon. Mm-hmm. And it rises to the top and then it pops. Yeah. And it falls on the ground and something else is built over it. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a cool little commentary of how it was such a great idea and it completely blew up and then no one uses it anymore.
It definitely, that opening sequence is such a commentary on the Silicon Valley. Right. It's so beautiful. It's like really well made and it's so metaphorically accurate.
Definitely.
Love it.
And I love how they use, obviously, a computer program to make mm-hmm. that. I thought that was, it's on all levels working really well with the show.
Yeah.
And even back to episode 4, which mm-hmm. we just watched last time, The Lawyer. They talk a lot about rock stars and stuff. He was obviously more of a metaphor in that sense mm-hmm. with the guitar. But in terms of Silicon Valley, the rock stars are these people who are the billionaires. They're mm-hmm. in such a different way, a rock star. And where real rock stars, say Kid Rock, who was in the first episode, you know, isn't the same. He was playing his heart out and to no one.
Yeah,
there
no
was
one
crickets
cared.
In the audience. So that's kind of a cool thing where it's a new rock star. It's a Silicon Valley rock star, mm-hmm. which is completely different. I bet all these kids growing up were probably, you know, in the nerdier clubs and the furthest thing from a rock star. And now, obviously, they are kicking ass and taking names.
Mm-hmm.
More about The Lawyer, the guitar he started to play with when he was ignoring Richard
mm-hmm.
Is signed by two Google founders that mm-hmm. he mentioned, Larry Page and Sergey Brin. And so that's kind of cool that they, you know, do incorporate real people's names. It's sort of like an Entourage thing. In that show, they had a lot of cameos.
Right.
So it's cool to see that they do that a little name dropping from time to time.
Yeah, it's a really interesting idea that they're, like, Hooli is supposed to be, you know, very similar to Google.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that Google doesn't exist in their universe.
Exactly.
I mean, they even brought up today talking about the different logos, you know, the lowercase letters and
right.
Google and Facebook and Twitter. So I love that they have their own universe, but they keep the realism of what's actually going on
right.
as well.
Right. Yeah. The lowercase letters, such a funny thing to reference. I wonder why that's such a trend with those companies.
I don't know. I think it's very similar to the trend with like Tumblr and whatever, where they
right.
drop the E.
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, acronyms that mm-hmm. when they were brainstorming for a new name, mm-hmm. you know, they kept playing with smaller and removing the vowels from that.
Yep.
So it's funny to see that there's sort of a play on that where it's not quite the word mm-hmm. correctly in like full grammatic perfection. And sort of, I think that's more of a commentary maybe perhaps of the type of people working on it. I mean, they're so against the corporate structure. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, for instance, is wearing hoodies mm-hmm. all day. They just released Madame Tussauds wax version of him.
Right.
And he's wearing a hoodie, classic, mm-hmm. Just a t-shirt, jeans, and no shoes. And he's sort of in like a cross-legged Indian pose, just sort of hanging out. And sort of that casualness is really interesting, specifically because the Peter Gregory character is based on Peter Thiel. He really does advocate, you know, people leaving school and starting businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that Peter Gregory obviously had that speech in the first episode of people doing that and
yep.
kind of foregoing school. I mean, I personally don't believe that, but again, I'm not a billionaire, so.
I just knew a lot of software engineers that never finished school because
right.
they started doing, you know, coding and programming, and then they kept doing that and doing that, and you can make a lot of money. Not
definitely,
that I'm saying
definitely.
You shouldn't go to school,
because yeah.
it will be helpful. But
yeah, I think there's probably fewer success stories than not. But again, you know, if that does work for you, then
mm-hmm.
awesome. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, aren't right for school. You know, if you have a brilliant mind and a brilliant idea, it could behoove you to not pursue that and mm-hmm. wait for someone else to steal your idea.
Yeah.
So there is, again, back to our time conversation, you know, that urgency of getting something out there before you're beaten to the punch.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I think we take it to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh.
Well, the main predictions that we saw from the preview mm-hmm. on, what do you think is going to happen?
So, from the preview, we saw that there was a self-driving car.
Yes.
There was a hot chick in the house with them.
Indeed, which who we did not see.
No.
Do you think it could be Monica, or do you think it's someone new?
I think it's someone new. I think we saw her for a second as she walked by, and it didn't right. look like Monica.
Yeah, I don't know if the face... I mean, it went by so fast. Yeah. I don't know if we can rewatch it, perhaps, between now and next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if the face was fully revealed.
I don't think it was Monica, regardless.
Right.
And Richard's stress is making him old.
Definitely, apparently.
And then
he is in bad health.
Yeah,
shape.
And then they meet a young engineer who is making fun of him for being 26.
Yes. Again, more commentary on the industry being yeah. so young. They kind of push the envelope where it's so young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 26, I'm 26. I still feel like I'm pretty young. To hear that he is part of the old, mm-hmm. like, senior citizens, so to speak, of the industry is kind of a funny thing. And I wonder how much that is accurate. I mean, what sort of is old? I know in the music industry, I actually mm-hmm. heard that once you pass 30, you are not the chance of you making it in that industry is so slim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want people to be sub 20 even. And that's so young. I mean, I get it because it's such a young type of industry, you know, a lot of young people connect very strongly with music.
Well, I mean, Hollywood is the same way. Once you hit 20, you're, you know,
exactly.
too old to start working.
Yeah, exactly.
Should have been working since you were 10.
Not getting any younger here, people.
Yeah. My predictions, I think they're going to keep working. I think I believe that by the end of the season, which is not far away, that's going to be the TechCrunch disrupt. I think that's what's going to be the season finale.
We're on episode 5 right now, so we still mm-hmm. have 3 more,
right.
I believe. So we probably will get a build up towards that.
Yeah.
I wonder how many more people the company will grow. I mean, it seems like they are on an extreme time schedule,
mm-hmm.
so they might be bringing on a lot more people. The little kid was referenced. I wonder if we'll see more new characters.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, obviously, possibly a new girl.
Maybe.
Joining the team.
I would love to see a girl developer. They're very rare, but they do exist.
Definitely, definitely. And there hasn't really been, besides Monica, mm-hmm. any female characters. Again, Mo Cuccino had the one episode. But until she comes back, there's really no one else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Again, one more prediction. Jared had a Q&A on HBO.com, and he said, with his big storyline coming up, he said, Jared encounters a piece of technology that amazes him and enthralls him, and then horrifies him. It takes him to a dark place. I love man versus machine stuff. As someone who frequently feels flummoxed by technology, it's fun to play.
It sounds like that's going to be the car next
week. Exactly. And, again, commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Google has that. I've seen it on the road. I was up in the Bay, and it's, I believe it's a Prius. But they have a crazy camera contraption
mm-hmm.
on the top of it. I thought it was just one of the vehicles that takes sort of the Google
Earth images.
Yeah, exactly. Which it could be,
mm-hmm.
but it was driving itself. I saw it said self-driving car on it, and there was just a passenger in the back. It was like a ghost. It was very strange.
That's terrifying.
Pretty cool. I mean, it was on the freeway too, so I clearly gave a few lane buffers on both sides, but very cool to see that that's something that's happening. And mm-hmm. I hope that they do a lot more testing on that before actually releasing it to the public.
Me too.
Definitely. Safety first, people, especially with vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Very good stuff. Looking forward to next week.
Before we go, we should tell the people where they can find you.
Ooh, absolutely. Please find me, find both of us.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JB_Zimmerman. Where can they find you?
You can find me online at yell.tv. That's YAEL.TV. And on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Google+ at Yell Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL.
Nice.
Yeah. And I guess, you'll see them next time.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.